A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 39. Jihad. Din froze for a moment, too surprised by Koska's sudden appearance, by the hostility in Boba's voice in the line of his shoulders, to do anything but stare at her. She stared back. Staring at her didn't help Din figure out what to do, but he couldn't think of anything else. All of his thoughts had ground to a screeching halt. Din didn't know where Koska had come from. The light cruiser, presumably, but... But the light cruiser, it isn't here, Din thought. Kreese's Gratua wasn't hovering in orbit above Tatooine. It couldn't be. Someone would have noticed. Fennec had stepped up security after Gorga's raid. She had eyes in Mos Eisley watching the spaceports, and she had eyes watching the skies, too. If the light cruiser had appeared in the skies above Tatooine, someone would have seen it and would have come to tell Boba about it before Koska had managed to walk into the palace and catch them all by surprise. She came alone, Din thought. He held on to that thought with both hands. Or, at least, she didn't come as part of a formal delegation? But Koska coming here on her own didn't make much sense to Din either. Din knew that Axe Woves often worked alone. He'd leave Kreese's company for weeks or months at a time, roaming the galaxy on her business. But Koska never left Kreese's side. She was always with Bo-Katan, standing at her right hand, lurking in her shadow. Or scouting ahead for her, Din thought, a bolt of alarm crashing through him. His spine stiffened. Din looked back at the stairs, ready to leap between Bo-Katan Kreese and Boba if he had to. Ready to... Din didn't know. Block a gout of fire? Keep Boba from drawing his blaster? Take a blaster bolt from Kreese? He didn't have to find out what would happen, though, because the stairs were empty, and they stayed that way. Kreese didn't appear. Koska is alone, Din thought. Relief caught Din low in his gut, like a punch aimed underneath the edge of his cuirass. Din didn't know what Boba's reaction would have been if Kreese had come down the stairs on Koska's heels, but based on their last meeting, on the barely disguised animosity in their voices when everyone talked about the other, Din knew that any confrontation between Bo-Katan and Boba would probably involve at least a little bloodshed. Bloodshed on some nameless hole-in-the-planet cantina on a backwater world in the Outer Rim was one thing. But this wasn't a nameless cantina, and while Tatooine was admittedly a backwater, it wasn't the same kind of backwater as Trask had been. Tatooine was Boba's home. It was the seat of his power, and it was still fragile, contested. If Kreese challenged Boba to a fight here... But... She's not here, Din told himself, trying to rein in his scattering thoughts. Koska is, and she can be reasoned with. Focus, Jaren. Kreese hadn't come. Din didn't need to worry about her, and he didn't need to worry about what might have happened if she had come. He needed to worry about the problem in front of him. Kreese was prickly and difficult for Din to understand sometimes, but Koska's a soldier, Din thought. I can talk to her, reason with her. Din tore his eyes off the empty stairs and looked at Koska again. He still didn't know what to do. Koska, the idea of Koska here, on territory that was Boba's and not Kreese's, was still tripping Din up. It wasn't something he'd ever thought to prepare for or even expect. Koska hated Boba, and Boba didn't like her much either. And Koska was Kreese's Talvod. Koska worked to help Kreese get what she wanted. Boba had nothing to do with Kreese's quest. He didn't want anything to do with it. He didn't want much to do with any other Mandalorians at all, and Koska knew that. Bob had said as much the last time he'd been on the light cruiser, in the days just after Gideon had been defeated. He stayed around to make sure that I came out of the back to tank okay, and then he left, Din thought. He didn't, doesn't, want anything to do with Kreese. He thinks that her quest is impossible. Kreese had been Death Watch. Din knew now that it didn't really matter to Boba that Kreese had left Death Watch, that the band she'd been a part of hadn't been the same band that had followed Tor Vizsla and killed Jango Fett's father. Boba still nursed that grudge. Not to the point of seeking revenge. Boba had let Kreese go, after all, had left her with the light cruiser and done his best to forget she existed. But he still held that grudge closely enough that Din had thought that Kreese would just stay away, that she'd leave Boba alone. Koska shouldn't be here. The sight of her standing among them, her armor gleaming, surrounded by the people of Boba's court, the smugglers and the musicians, the bounty hunters and the dancers, the petitioners from Mos Eisley, the mercenaries, the moisture farmers, was wrong. Like looking out over a herd of Gwalamas and seeing Owarana prowling among the herd, teeth bared and claws flashing. It made all of the hairs on the back of Din's neck stand up. His body braced itself for a fight. "We can't," Din managed to think. Only a handful of seconds had passed, but the sudden flush of adrenaline in his body made each second stretch. Not here. There were too many eyes in the throne room. Din forced himself to take a steadying breath, pushing past the alarm shrieking through his chest, and shook his head to clear it. It didn't matter that Koska shouldn't be here. It didn't matter that Din didn't understand what she wanted. She was here, and Din had to deal with it before someone got hurt. The last time Boba and Koska had been in a cantina together. Not that Boba's throne room was a cantina, but between the music and the drinks and the crowd of armed Tatooinians in it, it was close enough. They'd come to blows. Din didn't remember much of what they'd actually said to each other to start the scuffle. He'd been too focused on securing Kreese's help, too frantic with worry over Grogu, to pay attention to Boba and Koska stomping and snorting around each other like rival bladebacks fighting over a watering hole. Honestly, Din hadn't thought anything of their fight. Mandalorians often scuffled with each other. Trading a few punches back and forth was a good way to sort out ranks in a squadron, to blow off steam before a real battle, to settle minor disagreements. Din and Paz had scuffled all the time. Boba and Koska's argument hadn't seemed all that important. But it is important here, Din thought. Nora just got the throne room back to rights. I probably shouldn't let Koska and Boba burn it down. That, at least, was something that Din could focus on, a goal he could work towards. He needed to keep Boba and Koska from coming to blows like two bladebacks clashing tusks, and he needed to keep any unfriendly eyes in the throne room from figuring out that Boba and other Mandalorians didn't get along. The last thing that anyone needed was for Gorga to figure out that hiring a handful of Mandalorian mercs would rattle Boba in a way none of the other attacks had managed. That there were probably whole coverts of Mandalorians who'd jump at the chance to put a bolt in Boba's chest. "What meeting?" Boba repeated, directly behind Din. Din could feel Boba's body behind him, all of that coiled power, that strength. Boba's tone was dangerous. But he didn't try to shift away from Din's protection, didn't try to push past Din to get at Koska. He was letting Din stand between them. That was good. I can still salvage this, Din thought, recovering some. Her showing up here is a surprise, and Boba doesn't like surprises, but I can explain. I just don't want to do it with an audience. Boba couldn't afford to show the throne room anything that might be taken as a weakness. Getting into an argument with Koska where everyone could see, could hear it, and could draw their own conclusions would be like painting a circle around all of the gaps in Boba's Beskar. Gorga would, no doubt, want to hear about it. We'll pay to hear about it, too, Din thought. Jassa and her crew had been taken out of the game, but Din knew that almost anyone in the room right now, outside of Din himself, Fennec, and probably Nora, could be bribed or bought. If Gorga got desperate enough to spend real clink trying to take Boba down. Thinking quickly, Din cut both Boba and Casca off before they could get started in on their customary insults. "Not here," Din said firmly, letting instinct take over. Casca paused, and Din felt Boba shift even closer to his back. He took another breath to steady himself. He could do this. Din had kept Kreez, Casca, and Boba from killing each other in the lead-up to their attack on the light cruiser, after all. If Boba and Casca wanted to argue, Din wouldn't stop them, but they shouldn't do it here. Every eye in the throne room was fixed on the three of them. The crowd's interest was heavy in the air. Din didn't want Kreez's politics, whatever they were, to get tangled up in Boba's. Boba had enough to worry about as it was. "What do you mean?" Casca finally asked. She was still clearly bristling with impatience, and she kept shooting what Din imagined were fierce glares at Boba over Din's shoulder. But she fixed her attention back on Din when he started speaking to her. "Not here?" Casca continued. Her tone was incredulous. "We haven't heard from you in almost a month, Jaren. For all we knew, this one..." She jerked her chin at Boba, who made a rough, angry sound beneath his helmet. "Had gotten you killed in his war with the Hutts." Din's determination to keep Boba and Casca from getting into a fistfight on the throne room floor wavered. "As you can see," Din said coolly, gesturing at himself, "I'm fine. Just having a comms malfunction, that's all. We're not doing this here, Reeves. Come on, there's a room we can use where we won't be disturbed." "Oh, we can do it here," Boba rumbled, all of his attention still fixed on Casca Reeves. "Won't take more than a minute, then we can get back to our business, Jaren, and send the Rurika on her way." Din didn't know what Rurika meant, but it made Casca bristle again, temper flaring. Din didn't know if she was bristling at some insult that Din didn't understand, or if she was upset about something else Boba had said. Boba had put enough emphasis on another word, "our," that Din knew his meaning wouldn't be mistaken. But either way, Casca was getting angry again, and that was the opposite of what Din wanted. "Boba's telling her, telling everyone, that I'm with him," Din thought. "That I'm with him over Kreez. That our business together is more important than anything Kreez could need from me." Boba was drawing a line in the sand, like a Tusken chief sketching out an Azagad circle in front of the evening fire. He was daring Casca to cross it. "Probably doesn't help that I'm... that I am with him over Kreez," Din thought. It was maybe an unworthy thought, maybe a dishonorable one. Din had sworn to Kreez first, after all. She had asked for his help before Boba had, and Din had agreed to help her weeks before he'd started helping Boba. And Kreez was... as insane as her quest sometimes sounded, it was an honorable one. It was a quest for all of Mandalore. Boba wanted a corner of Tatooine. Kreez wanted her people's homeworld back. "But I'd put... I am putting Boba's quest over hers," Din thought. He had stayed with Boba throughout all of this, after all. Din had done what he'd said he'd do for Kreez. She'd asked him to tell any children of the Watch he could find about her summit, and Din had told Paz, told the Verdike. But once he'd done that, he'd put the entire thing out of his mind and thrown himself headfirst into Boba's outfit, into Boba's life. "I can't. Casca and I can have it out later," Din thought. He was sure that she could see Din's obvious preference for Boba. Din was still guarding Boba with his own body, after all. Din hadn't contradicted Boba's words either. Wouldn't contradict them, really. Boba had said, "our business." Hearing that made Din's heart thrill in his chest. But right now... It didn't matter that Din couldn't, as always, help but be a little pleased by Boba's obvious show of preference, by his loyalty. Din did his best to set that private pleasure aside. His nerves spiked again, and his fingers were starting to itch for a blaster. They were still being watched. The musicians had stopped playing, other conversations had cut out, the throne room plunging into expectant silence. There were 50 other beings in the throne room, and all of them were staring at Boba, Din, and Koska Reeves. Their attention made Din's trigger finger twitch. But Bob was right, Din thought. I am with him. The sooner Koska understood that, the quicker she'd leave. She'd see that Din was fine. Din had promised to go to Kreese's gathering, this summit of the Mandalorians that she had arranged on Cronest, and he would go, but there were still a few days left before the meeting itself. Koska didn't need to stay here to make sure that Din made it on time. Din lifted his own chin at Koska. He felt those 50 sets of eyes glancing off his Beskar like blaster bolts, each one seeking a weakness, a gap, a break in Din's armor. He felt Koska's eyes doing the same. He was determined not to show any such weakness. Lord Fett, Din said quietly, still looking at Koska. He spoke just loudly enough to be heard by the nearest handful of other beings, but not so loud that the rest of the throne room could hear him. He leaned on formality, too. Formalities were important to Kreese. Maybe Koska would recognize them here and behave herself. Lord Fett has his own business. If you need to speak with him, you can petition the throne like everyone else. Din felt the force of Koska's glare, of her outrage, through both of their helmets. He didn't care. He felt Boba shift a little behind him. The nearness of Boba's body was as reassuring as it always was. Lord Fett, Koska said, spitting the words out like a mouthful of acid. Has no business with me. Then your business is with me, Din said, more for the benefit of the court than anyone else. He knew why Koska was here after all. But he didn't want anyone, any spies that might be in the room, since Fennec still hadn't found out who'd been slipping information to Jassa, to see Boba and Koska get into it and assume they'd found a weak point in Boba's armor. We don't need to take up any of the court's time, do we? Koska stared at Din for a long moment. Tension made Din's shoulders pull tight. Expectation swelled. He dropped his hand to the hilt of the darksaber almost reflexively. And Koska's gaze followed his hand. No, she said finally, reluctantly. She looked up at Din's helmet again. He saw himself reflected in her visor. We don't need to take up any of Lord Fett's time. Tank Ferrick, Din thought, his shoulders drooping a little. Relief flooded his chest. He nodded and took his hand off the darksaber's hilt, gesturing towards one of the hallways that branched off of the throne room. Come on, then, Din said. He pitched his voice just a little louder so more people could hear him. We'll let Lord Fett get back to his business. Koska nodded, making to follow Din out of the throne room, but Boba reached out and brushed a hand against Din's elbow. He didn't grab Din, not like Din had grabbed Koska, but Din felt his glove brush against Din's kutta all the same. Din stopped and turned to face him, heart hammering. Din, said Boba, very quietly. It was impossible to guess what his expression looked like underneath his helmet, but Din could hear the concern in Boba's voice, the confusion. What's going on? Din could still hear a faint edge of anger in Boba's voice, too. He swallowed. He had to be careful. Boba couldn't afford to show his dislike for other Mandalorians, not here. And Din didn't really want to betray any of Kreese's confidences, either. But I don't want him to worry, Din thought. He didn't want Boba to try and resume court to go about his business as usual, while also worrying about Din catching a blaster bolt in the throat during an argument with Koska. I never wanted to worry him. The gathering, it's not Boba's problem. He probably won't even want to go, but... But Din didn't know how to say all of that, to explain himself and what was happening without giving away too much in front of everyone else. He could only swallow again and try to choose his words as carefully as possible. "It's Jahakan," Din said. Casca had taught him that word on the light cruiser. She'd said that it meant politics, but in Mandoa the word had a particular sharpness and edge that Din had come to associate with almost all Mandalorians. He hoped that Boba understood. Din didn't. It wasn't that Din had wanted to keep the news of Kreese's gathering from Boba. Boba was a Mandalorian too, after all, and Kreese had charged Din with spreading the invitation to the summit among any other Mandalorians that he could find. She'd probably only meant for Din to invite the Children of the Watch, Din's tribe, and others like it, the Mandalorians of the Coverts. But Din had always meant to tell Boba about it too, if only to get Boba's opinion on it all. Boba deserves... If he wants to go, he deserves to be there too, Din thought. Since the invitation had come from Kreese, Din couldn't imagine that Boba would want to attend the summit. He already thought that Kreese's quest was utter foolishness, after all. Mandalore was gone. Boba had said that from the beginning. But Din had always meant to invite him. He'd just forgotten, that was all. No, Din thought, guilt prickling in his chest. It's not that I just forgot. I wanted to forget. I didn't want to drag Boba into all of this, so I didn't. We were busy, but... But Din had had the time to pull Boba aside to tell him about the summit. Din had told Paz and the others about it first, like he'd wanted to, but he could have told Boba, too. They'd only had a few dozen meals together over the last several weeks, after all. Had only spent hours and hours nearly every night in each other's company. But I just... No, Din thought, shoving the guilt away with some effort. I don't have time for this, not right now. Come find us when you're done with court, Din said, offering Boba the only thing he could right now. I'll wait for you. He pulled away a little. Boba's hand fell from his elbow. We'll be just off the throne room, Din said. Boba studied Din for another long second, then finally dropped his hand. He was still angry. Din could see it in the set of his shoulders. He was still confused. But Boba was willing to play along, at least, because he did let Din go, and he stepped back towards the crowd and the throne. Shout if you need me, Boba said simply. His tone hadn't lost that hard edge of anger, sharp as a verd knife, but Boba didn't lunge for Koska's throat or pull out his flamethrower and spray fire over Din's head, so Din was going to take his victory, however small and temporary it was, and get Koska out of the throne room before anyone could get around to drawing their blasters. Din nodded. I will, he promised. Boba knew that Din meant it because the line of his shoulders softened some. Good, Din thought, now that the threat of an immediate fight was past. That's good. This is something I can salvage. Din gave his full attention back to Koska, who was still watching him through the rounded visor of her helmet. This way, Din said. He kept his voice deliberately blank, his tone as even as he could manage it. His vocoder helped some. Koska let Din lead her around the edge of the crowd, and Boba let Din go. Din kept his head up and his movements smooth, unhurried. This is normal business, he thought, bending all of his will towards acting normal. He reached for the Baroya again, for the hunter's practiced, watchful calm. The crowd shifted around him a little. He hoped that they were buying it. Normal business, he thought, repeating it to himself, trying to make himself believe it as much as anyone else. This is normal business, nothing Gorga the Hutt would like to learn, nothing that can be used to hurt Boba. It's just business. Din caught Fennec's eye over the crowd. She'd stayed up on the dais beside the throne when Koska had appeared, her face a cool, bored mask, and she still looked unaffected by the sudden appearance of another Mandalorian. That was good, that would help sell Din's assertion. Only the hand at Fennec's hip, resting against the smooth black grip of her blaster, gave her away. She'd been paying close attention. She did lift an eyebrow when she caught Din's eye. Her expression didn't change at all, but Din knew what she was asking him anyway. "Do you need help?" her eyes asked. Behind her, Noor's new tapestry fluttered in the slight breeze, its fine tasseled edges swaying as the throne room's occupants shifted restlessly. Din was too far away to make out the tapestry's finer details, to see himself stitched there in silver thread along with Boba and Fennec and Noora and Kasik. But seeing it made him relax a little. Din was not alone. Even if he was going into a private room to talk with Casca, backup was only a shout or a blaster bolt away. As welcome as Fennec's backup usually was, she was a faster draw with her blaster than just about anyone else Din knew, and had practice now aiming for the gaps in Beskar armor. Din would rather Fennec stay in the throne room with Boba, watching for threats, since Din was abandoning his usual post. "I handled Casca fine on the light cruiser, and there I was outnumbered 7-8, counting Kreese, to 1, Din thought. He could handle Casca here. Din shook his helmet incrementally, hoping that Fennec could see him do it from across the room, and didn't alter his course. The crowd let Din and Casca through, parting for them silently. Din kept his head up and his gaze fixed straight ahead. None of the palace's guests met his eyes. No one wanted to get in the way of two Mandalorians. Din did manage to catch Noora's eye, though, as he walked past the bar. She and Geeta were both behind it tonight, working together to manage the larger crowd that had come for evening court, since there hadn't been a session that morning. Noora's leku were tense and stiff. The set of her mouth was unhappy. Geeta was just watching, with wide eyes, pale underneath her tattoos. She probably hadn't seen another Mandalorian before, aside from Din and Boba. "And I'm not even Mandalorian anymore," Din thought. For the first time since Casca had shown up, Din smiled to himself, grimly. If he had to, Din could make Casca leave. All he needed to do was tell her the truth. Din was Darmanda. He technically couldn't swear to Kreese's quest. He didn't have any honor. Din doubted that he'd be welcome at Kreese's summit if Casca told her that Din wasn't the Mandalorian at all anymore. "But Boba said that I shouldn't tell Kreese," Din remembered. "Not without backup, anyway." He nodded to Geeta and Noora as he passed, trying to reassure them that he was all right. Boba had been insistent that Din not tell Kreese when Din had gone up to the light cruiser. Casca wasn't Kreese, but... "But she's with Kreese, like I'm with Boba," Din thought. "They're elite, clan, or whatever passes for clan among Kreese's Mandalorians." Whatever passed for a clan among the tangled Wishak web of alliances and sworn houses and blood feuds that made up Kreese's faction. Din still wasn't sure he understood all of that. Casca had explained a little of it all to him, but thinking of Torig Saxon, the hostage for his mother's continued alliance, and of Talvode and the rest of it, made pain spike behind Din's right ear. Unease prickled in Din's belly. "I shouldn't tell Casca," he thought. "Not yet. She'll tell Kreese. She has to, no matter how much Casca likes me, or liked me, now that I have sided with Boba against her. And Boba thinks that would be a bad idea." Boba thought that if Kreese learned that Din was Darmanda, she'd try to kill him. Din's fingers twitched. He wanted to reach for the darksaber again. He wanted to reassure himself with its familiar weight. The feeling made Din pause. "The darksaber, it's not mine," Din reminded himself, keeping his hand away. He'd gotten more comfortable with the thing over the last few months, and he could fight with it without hacking off one of his own limbs by accident now, but... "It's not mine. It's never been mine. I don't want it. If it matters so much to Kreese, she can have it." "She can have it," Din repeated to himself, pushing down another swell of unease as it rose in the bottom of his throat. "She can have it. I don't need it." But something in his mind rebelled a little at the thought of giving the darksaber up. The darksaber, Din had been glad to have it these last few weeks. It had been useful. No one, not the Imperial remnants on Arcanus, not the Hutt thugs who'd raided the palace, not slavers, not the worst skugs Mos Eisley had been able to throw at Din or Boba or the palace, had been expecting to see the Darksaber. It had given Din a tidy advantage over several of his enemies. He had killed with it. He'd gotten used to the weight of it on his hip, and he found himself reaching for it almost as often as he reached for his blaster. Just touching the hilt was enough to reassure Din, usually.
"But it's just a weapon," Din thought, pushing his odd, unexpected protectiveness of the Darksaber aside. "It's just a sword. If Kreez wants it so badly, she can have it."
There was a problem there, too, though. Din had learned already that Kreez wouldn't take the Darksaber if Din offered it to her. He tried enough times on the light cruiser.
"It has to be one," Din thought, remembering what Gideon had told him. If another Mandalorian has it, or if someone who has defeated Mandalorians, like Gideon did, has it, then it has to be one. Otherwise, what, it doesn't mean anything.
Din didn't understand, but he knew what Boba thought. Boba believed that even if Kreez found out that Din was Darmanda, she wouldn't just accept the Darksaber from him. Boba thought that Kreez would still try to kill him for it.
"She doesn't have to kill me for it," Din thought, frustrated. "She can just take it."
Koska might accept it if Din told her directly, if he told her that he was Darmanda and wasn't worthy of carrying it. Koska was... She was honorable. Upright. Not, Din thought, the type of warrior who'd kill an Arreti in cold blood if that Arreti promised to stay out of Kreez's way. And Koska was more than honorable. She was practical. She'd see that there was no reason to fight over the Darksaber, not if Din was willing to give it up. She could take it from Din, and then Kreez could fight her for it if she demanded a fight. Or Koska could just give it to her, and none of them would need to bother Din again.
"It won't be that easy," Din thought bitterly.
He turned the problem over in his head as he led Koska out of the throne room and into one of the main halls that branched off the heart of the palace, then ducked into the first empty room he saw. Koska followed. Din led her in past him and looked around. He had been in this room before. It was the room Fennec had gently shoved Din into the first time he'd come to the palace. Fennec had guarded the door while Din had eaten alone, too afraid to show his face to anyone else.
"That feels like it happened years and years ago," Din thought.
Half the palace, Kark half of Tatooine, with what Din had pulled going into Mos Eisley the other night, had seen Din's face by now, including Fennec. But the room hadn't changed much, at least. The walls were red and plain. The same battered table took up the middle of the room, surrounded by the same handful of chipped old chairs. A chute at one end of the room led down into the kitchens, and there was a low table pressed against the wall off to one side. The table had a small pitcher of water balanced on top of it and a handful of cups clustered together nearby. Nora's touch, Din was sure. Din stepped off to the side, letting Koska follow him in, then rounded on her as soon as he was sure the door had closed. Din was still bristling with irritation, and thinking about the mess he'd found himself in, and how he could get himself out of it without Kreez trying to kill him and sparking a blood feud with Boba as a result, only made him more defensive. Koska, for her part, met Din's gaze with cool disinterest. Her armor was still freshly painted and unmarred, its lines and symbols were crisp and stark. The night owls on her pauldron stared at Din with blank, black eyes. Koska set her hands on her hips, hooked her thumbs into her utility belt, and tilted her chin up. Everything in her posture offered Din a challenge. Din felt like a hungry rancor with fresh meat dangling in front of its face, just past where it could reach through the bars of its cage. Koska was baiting Din. He knew that she was baiting him. He didn't know why she was doing it, but he knew that she was, and that meant that Din shouldn't play the rancor and make a futile swipe for the bait. He did it anyway. "You shouldn't have done that," Din snapped, letting his temper slip through the stranglehold he'd put it in when Koska had walked into the throne room. Koska snorted.
"What?" she shot back.
"I shouldn't have come down to check on my ally, make sure that you were all right?" Din scowled. Now he knew that she was baiting him. She hadn't just come down to Tatooine for a friendly visit.
If she had, she would have waited to corner Din when he'd been on his own.
You did more than just that, Din growled.
Casca wasn't stupid. She was Bo-Katan's right hand. She knew, better than Din knew, how to play political games. Din was just a hunter. Casca wasn't a hunter at all.
She blew out an irritated breath, the sound of it crackling harshly through her vocoder.
Fine, she said, tone short. I did more than just stick my nose in the Iron Wolf's cave. Sorry, I guess. But it's not my fault Fett's got Estrill's temper, is it? Why aren't you telling him to play nice?
You aren't sorry, Din observed, still angry. He ignored her dig at Boba entirely.
Casca only shrugged.
No, she said. Not really.
Why?
Am I not sorry? Casca said, deliberately misunderstanding Din.
Because Boba Fett is a miserable chavoir, Jaren. I know you like him, but the rest of us...
If all you're going to do is insult him, Din said, coldly furious, then you can leave now, Reeves. I don't want to hear it.
Din didn't understand what Casca had to gain by going out of her way to upset Boba, especially since upsetting Boba upset Din, and Din thought that he'd made that clear to Casca the last time Din had been on the light cruiser. He hadn't tolerated any of Casca's sly barbs and veiled insults then, not when they'd been aimed at Boba, and Din had thought that Casca understood that.
Casca sighed. She took off her helmet with one hand and used the other to smooth down her mussed hair.
Din blinked, thrown, as always, by the sight of a Mandalorian taking off their helmet in front of another person. It hadn't gotten any less surprising, not really, not for Din. He was used to Boba doing it now, but others.
Casca Reeves looked tired. Like her month had been just as long and difficult as Din's had been. There were exhausted smudges underneath her eyes, an expression Din had gotten used to seeing in his own face over the last few weeks. In Boba's face and in Fennec's. Even in Nora's face, in Tava's or Cacique's. Everyone in the palace had been tired. On edge. It looked like everyone on the light cruiser, or Casca at least, had had a similar month. Casca looked like a stiff wind would knock her out of her boots.
Exhaustion's no reason to try and make Boba angry on purpose, though, Din thought, setting his jaw. He refused to soften.
He did reluctantly tug off his own helmet, though, leaving his hair in disarray so he could glare at Casca properly. Whatever she saw in his expression made her wince and finally back down.
Bo's not...
We were starting to think that Fett had gotten you killed, Casca said, sounding apologetic for the first time since she'd come down the stairs and walked into the throne room. We couldn't raise you on the comms, your personal comm or your ship's, and the news that's coming out of this sector... She trailed off with a shrug.
So what? Din returned impatiently. You decided that you'd take that out on Boba? If I had been killed, that wouldn't have been his fault. Mandalorians die fighting all the time.
That made Casca snort again.
Oh, so it's not Fett who's been picking fights with the Hutt cartel, then?
That's not the point, Din said.
Of course it is, Casca snapped back. If he wants to get himself killed on some Jarela job, that's his business. Always has been. Jatekara, Jateoya. Getting you killed, though.
He's not making me do anything, Din said. He didn't understand all of the words that Casca had just thrown at him, and he didn't understand her tone. He could make a guess, from the way she'd spat the words Jatekara, Jateora, probably meant good riddance, or maybe go cart yourself. If Boba was killed by the Hutts, if any of them were killed by the Hutts, really, because Din doubted that Bo-Katan Kryze or her owls particularly cared about Fennec or Nura or Cacique or Geeta or any of the other 50 beings who'd signed on to Boba's outfit, Kryze and her people would shed no tears.
He's not trying to get me killed, Din continued. Something about Casca's tone had unsettled him badly, and he couldn't figure out why. Din was missing something, and not knowing what it was that he was missing set Din's teeth on edge. Made him feel like he was walking into a room full of enemies, blind and unarmed, or like he was walking into a trap. Casca opened her mouth to argue, eyes flashing. But Din reached the end of his patience and snarled, voice full of ice. Not any more than Kreese is trying to get you killed chasing a dead planet into the mouth of the Empire. Din regretted the words as soon as he'd said them, but it was too late to take them back. Casca closed her mouth. Din didn't soften his fierce glare. He did feel a sharp twinge of regret at dragging up the ghost of Mandalore, but it was too late to take it back. He could still see Mandalore stamped across the backs of his eyes, could still feel the awful, dead stillness of it, the utter silence, the white dust, the heaps of bones, the dull gray lumps of Beskar melted to the rocks and the bones of the planet. He could still remember the look on Kreese's face when she'd realized that everyone, everywhere on the planet, everyone and everything that she had ever known, was gone. Casca had known Mandalore, too. Had grown up there, most likely. Had once had friends or family on the planet. A life in one of the domed cities. Guilt prodded at the back of Din's ribs. But she threw the first punch, not me, Din thought, still bristling. Din didn't know how other Mandalorians had been taught to fight, outside of the coverts or the Fighting Corps. But Din hadn't been taught to trade blows back and forth, exchanging one for another with no clear winner in the sparring ring. Din had been taught to end fights. All right, Casca finally said, tone grudging. She grimaced. I maybe deserved that one, Jaren. Din shifted his weight back onto his heels, off balance again. I'm not any good at this, he thought. Din didn't know what Casca wanted. It all looks about the same to you, huh? Casca continued. She looked around the room's bare walls, lifting her eyebrows like she was just seeing the palace for the first time. Fett's Zerilequest and Bo's too. Oh, Din thought. It's not... I'm not the one to ask if a quest is... if it's Zerela, Din said. He knew that word. It meant foolish, dangerous, suicidal. It meant taking a great risk with no possibility of a reward. Casca arched an eyebrow at Din this time. No, she said wryly. You've signed on to two, it looks like. Din stiffened. Of the two quests he'd sworn to, Bubba's determination to establish an outfit free of Hutt influence, a free Tatooine, and Kreese's quest to reclaim Mandalore, it was Kreese's quest that seemed the most impossible. Mandalore was gone. Din had stood there on the planet's ruined surface himself. He'd seen what was left of it. Nothing was going to bring Mandalore back to life again. But Tatooine... Jabba couldn't kill the desert, Din thought. Jabba had controlled a fair bit of the desert, that was true, and he'd shaped much of Tatooine to suit his own needs, to rake in credits for the Hutt cartel before anyone else, but even at the height of his power, Jabba hadn't managed to control the entire planet. There were still the Tuskens in the sands, Din thought, the Ahra in the cities. There was still something here that Boba could... I don't know. Build on, maybe. Boba's quest wasn't an easy one. Din could admit that. Too many beings on Tatooine had made too much clink under Jabba, under his way, to welcome Boba with open arms. But for Boba, establishing an outfit isn't any more impossible than finding the last Jedi in all of the galaxy was, Din thought. What Boba wanted... It was like a cedar tree searching for water underneath the parched sands. Difficult, but not impossible. Strong trees could survive a season or two of drought if their roots were dug down deep enough, if they could find shelter from the wind. There's no shelter left on Mandalore, Din thought. No water left to keep anything alive. The Empire had made sure of that. Kreese's quest, well... It was no surprise that she had shifted from reestablishing Mandalore, reclaiming the planet, to getting revenge for it, not after what they had seen on Mandalore and its moons. Din didn't know how to say that to Casca, though. Din liked Casca, usually anyway. She was straightforward, direct. She had, as far as Din knew, always been honest with Din, and when Din had been recovering on the light cruiser, Casca had done her best to keep Kreese away so that Din could heal. She had protected him, given him the space he'd needed to get back on his feet. Din didn't want to treat her like an enemy. He didn't want her to be an enemy. We have enough of those already. Din took a breath to steady himself. Anger still pressed insistently against his ribs. He still hated the way that Casca spoke of Boba. Her dismissiveness, her casual but firm belief that Boba, Din's Boba, even though Din had only admitted that to himself in the privacy of his own head, was cruel or careless or didn't care about Din at all. But we already have too many enemies, Din thought. He gritted his teeth and tried to work through his anger. We don't need to add Kreese and her people to that list. Even if Casca thought that Din had been killed fighting Hutts, that was no reason for her to try to deliberately disrupt Boba's business to provoke a fight with him in the throne room. But I don't, Din thought, need to escalate. What Din needed, what Boba needed, was for Casca to calm down, to deliver whatever message she'd come to Tatooine to deliver, and then leave. The longer Casca stuck around, the more chances there were for her to get tangled up in Boba's grudge against the Hutts, and from the way Casca talked about that, she wasn't interested. "It's not my job," Din began, choosing his words as neutrally as he could. He'd already shown a preference for Boba. Twice now, actually. Din had challenged Casca over the same thing on the light cruiser. Over the way she'd talked about Boba. Din didn't need to keep punching at the same point. To decide if a quest is Jarela or not. For Kreese or for Boba. Casca studied Din for another long moment. "No," she finally said. "Maybe it's not." There was something strange in her expression just then. Din almost missed it. He'd gotten pretty good at reading Boba's expressions, or even Fennec's, but despite the time they'd spent together after Gideon's defeat, Din still didn't know Casca all that well. He couldn't read her as easily. Din and Casca had fought together on the light cruiser. They'd managed, with Luke Skywalker's help, to defeat Gideon. And they'd traveled together for a few weeks after that, with Casca going out of her way to keep Din and Bo-Katan apart. She'd been another layer of armor, almost. Din had been sick and in pain, missing Grogu, his ears still ringing from his fight with the Dark Trooper, and his heart still broken by what he'd done on Morak. He'd been alone. Casca had seen that. She'd kept Din out of Kreese's politics, protected him. At least until Din had been steadier on his feet. Until he'd been able to stand on his own. When he'd returned to the light cruiser last month, stronger than he'd been when he'd left it, and had been able to manage Kreese on his own. "I'm recovered now, more or less," Din thought. He wasn't wounded, anyway, and he ignored the prickle of pain in the backs of his legs as he thought it. "And Kreese's politics, they're not something that Casca can put off, not anymore." The gathering Kreese had arranged was in just a few days. Casca had run out of time. Din supposed that he knew what Casca wanted after all, what she was trying to do by coming here. It wasn't, if Din looked at it sideways, so different than what Din did for Boba. Casca was trying to protect Kreese. She was trying to make sure that Kreese's supporters were all together, that Kreese had the best footing possible before she went into the Jahakan of a Mandalorian summit. Casca had a duty to Bo-Katan, and now she was trying to meet it. Realizing that didn't manage to get Din all the way past the hard edge of his anger, though. Casca was working to protect Kreese just like Din tried to protect Boba. She was supporting her Alor. Fine, Din could understand that. But supporting one's Alor didn't call for a warrior to go out of their way to cause a different Alor problems, and Casca had done just that. "She baited Boba just like she baited me," Din thought. He blew out another irritated breath. He hoped that Boba's cord had started up again without any other problems, that Boba was calming himself down. Fennec was with him at least. Bobo would be fine. "What do you want, Casca?" Din asked. Arguing about whether or not Kreese's quest was impossible wouldn't get them anywhere. Casca was sworn to it, and so was Din. It didn't matter if what Kreese wanted was possible or not. "It's like the Creed," Din thought. "It just is, and I have to live with it." Casca studied Din again, her hostility almost entirely replaced by something new. Something thoughtful. "I did want to make sure that you were okay," she said. Some of her usual demeanor, the tearful soldier going wherever Kree sent her, had returned. Din recognized Casca better like this and made himself drop his shoulders. "I wasn't kidding, Jaren," Casca continued. "Some of the Jorika coming out of this sector, it's not good." "What's coming out of this sector?" Din asked. He'd hardly left the sector since he'd arrived, so Din wasn't sure what the rest of the galaxy was saying about Boba and his war with Gorga the Hutt. Casca shrugged, but apparently she liked Din enough to tell him the truth, because she said that Gorga the Hutt's raising as much clank as he can. Din stiffened. "That he's tried smaller raids," Casca continued, "and been chased off, so now he's either got to come back with the proper army or he has to give Tatooine up. Most gossip saying that he's not going to give up, Nirvod." "Gorga's building an army," Din asked, his tone sharpening. His mind whirled. His anger at Casca was almost entirely forgotten. They'd expected Gorga to come back, of course. Boba and Fennec were planning for it. They expected him to try and take the palace back again. The raid hadn't been successful, and neither had Gorga's numerous assassination attempts. His only strategy now was a full-scale assault. "Where's this army?" Din asked, pouncing on the information that he could. "When are they coming? What's he..." Casca cut Din off, raising a gloved hand with a grimace. "Whoa, Udeshi Keramut," she said. Hearing that familiar word in Casca's mouth, stripped of Boba's deep voice, of his soothing touch, had the opposite effect of what she wanted. Din knew that that word was a command, an order to calm down, but hearing Casca say it only made Din bristle again. "I don't want to be calm," Din said, gritting his teeth. "If there's an army on its way here." "I didn't say there was an army," Casca said, impatient. "Just that Gorga was looking to build one. If it makes you feel any better," she added, probably realizing that she'd never get Din to focus on Kreese and her quest if she'd let him get too worked up about a Hutt attack. "I didn't see a fleet lurking around or anything on my way in." "It doesn't really make me feel any better, no," Din muttered, his teeth still gritted so tightly that he could feel the pressure of it twinging in his jaw. Casca sighed noisily. Din ignored her. "Where'd you hear about an army?" Din pressed, narrowing his eyes. "I still have guild contacts," he thought. "I can make a stop on Navarro, maybe, see if Karga's noticed any guild hunters taking a lot of work out in Hutt space, or if Kara's heard anything through her New Republic contacts, I can..." "Kara Balkara, you're like a strill with a scent, aren't you?" Casca muttered. She shook her head. "I didn't whip out a datapad and take notes, Jaren. It's not... well, it's not something that I actually care about, you know?" Din scowled at her, bristling again. They were back to where they'd started, with Casca tossing insults in Boba's direction and Din batting them aside, growing increasingly angry about it. Casca spread her hands. "I really don't, Nervod," she said. "I know you do, and that's your business. Good on you for being so loyal, I guess. But it's not my business, and I don't really want it to be. I have enough to do for Bo as it is." Din worked his jaw for a moment, the urge to grab Casca by her shoulders and shake her until she gave up more information, burning bright in Din's stomach. But he made himself nod. There was no point in driving Casca away if Din didn't have to. And if she really didn't have any better information, if she hadn't cared enough to verify any gossip out of the tattoo sector that she'd heard, then pressing her wasn't going to get Din anything anyway. "But Fennec will want to hear about this," Din thought. "She probably already knows, but it can't hurt to make sure that she's aware that Gorga's recruiting, that..." "I can tell you that, from what I've heard, most of it is just rumors," Casca finally offered, tone grudging. Din looked at her again and was surprised to see that she looked faintly embarrassed. There's enough rumors floating around that we caught wind of them on the Gratua, but it's not like there's a fleet massing in Hutt Space or anything. Gorga the Hutt probably is recruiting, but there's no way he has enough of a force to come back here yet. You're pretty well dug in here. Din eyed her. Casca held her arms out, her expression open, appealing. I did want to make sure that you were okay, Jaren, she said. I like you. Din wasn't sure, standing in this room with her, that he still liked Casca, and it must have shown on his face because she cracked a tiny grin. I do, she said. You're a good ally, a good fighter. There aren't too many Mandoade like you left anymore. It'd be a shame to lose you to Hutune like Gorga the Hutt and his mercs. Din resisted the urge to pull his shoulders up instinctively, fighting to keep his face from betraying him. His whole body had stiffened. He felt danger creep into the room, like that Warana emerging from the Gualama herd. The shape of what Casca wanted, of why she'd really come here, was becoming clearer. I'm not Mandoad, Din thought. I've already been lost. It's already too late. But Casca didn't know that. She had no idea that Din was Darmanda, that he was already lost to Kreese's quest, to the way Kreese wanted to order the galaxy. Din was starting to think that he had made a very serious mistake. He should have told Kreese that he was Darmanda. He shouldn't have let her continue to think of him as an ally, as Talvod. Din should have taken the risk on the light cruiser and told her the truth, no matter what her reaction might have been. No matter that Din had been alone on the Gratua with all of his other allies down on Tatooine. I shouldn't have let Kreese count me in as part of her plans, Din thought. That was what Casca was getting at. That was what she was dancing around. She hadn't just come to Tatooine, hadn't risked Boba or one of Boba's guards shooting her down in the throne room, just to make sure that Din was alive. There aren't too many Mandoade like you left anymore, Casca had said. She didn't come here to make sure that I hadn't been killed. At least she didn't come here to check on me for my sake, Din thought. Casca had come because Din was... What, he thought, a weapon in Kreese's hand? Kreese herself had avoided telling Din just what she wanted from him at the summit. All she'd asked was that Din be there. No, that's not all she asked. She had asked for Din to go, but she'd specifically asked for him to go as one of her people. She had grouped Din in with Casca, with Woes. She'd asked Din to get the word of the summit out to other children of the Watch, but she'd also asked Din to come to her summit. She hadn't said why, but she had asked. And I agreed, Din thought. He'd put that conversation with Kreese out of his mind almost as soon as he'd had it, honestly, because Din's days since then had been full of helping Boba and the palace recover from Gorga's raid, on managing Paz and the Verdike, on hunting for Gorga's spy. I asked her what she wanted from me, Din remembered. And she said, I'll tell you, Kreese had said. At the summit. Something broke open in Din's chest then. It was cold. He felt it spread through his ribs, his belly, down to the base of his spine. It wasn't fear, exactly. It wasn't the animal terror of fighting off a direct attack or even the apprehension that came with walking into enemy territory. It was deeper than that. It was dread, Din thought. His chest had filled with dread. I have, Din thought, a little distantly, walked into a trap. Kreese wanted something from Din. He didn't know what it was aside from his service, aside from the promise he'd made to her to fight by her side and to help her reclaim Mandalore if he could. But that had been a promise Din had made before they'd gone to the planet, before they had seen what was left. There was no Mandalore to reclaim. But she didn't give up, Din thought, dread mounting. So what does she want now? Din knew the answer to that question. Kreese had told him herself. She wants vengeance. She'd named the captured light cruiser the Gratua. She was gathering up all of the Mandalorians that she could find, even the ones she didn't like or agree with, the ones who had been her enemies before the Empire had gotten involved, to take vengeance on the Empire. Is that all she wants from me? Another body to throw at the remnants? Din didn't see why his attendance at the summit would matter so much if all that Kreese wanted from him was a noble death. Why she'd go to the trouble of sending Koska here to collect Din personally. If all Kreese needed was more bantha fodder, she didn't even really need Din at the summit at all. He'd already agreed to help her. He would go where she sent him if she decided to fight. But that's not what she wants from me. Koska was watching Din again, her eyes dark and serious. She was looking at Din, he realized, the way that Fennec sometimes looked at him. The dread coiling in Din's chest solidified. You don't know what you look like, Fennec had said. Her words still echoed oddly in Din's ears. They were tinny, almost distant, like the memory of Fennec was standing at the bottom of a cave or the far end of a canyon and shouting to be heard. Like something out of a desert tale. Din swallowed. What? He said, very carefully, aware now that he had stepped into a crate dragon trap, that if he moved too quickly or without finding out the best way forward, he'd be well and truly caught. Does Bo-Katan Kreese want with me? Koska, to her credit, held Din's gaze. Din appreciated that, at least. He appreciated that she was looking him in the eye, that her expression was honest, sympathetic, even as she went in to deliver a neat, crippling blow. You know what she wants, said Koska. Why do you think she told me to show you off to Torig Saxon and Anna Cast? There had been other Mandalorians on the bridge when Koska had introduced Din to the rest of Kreese's allies. Myra Antilles in white and gold armor, and Tristan Wren in yellow and black. But Koska told me about Cast and Saxon and remembered. She told me Clan Saxon had been an enemy of Kreese's, Clan Cast, too. Koska introduced me to them to, what, prove a point? You defeated Moff Gideon, said Koska quietly. With help, Din shot back. Koska shook her head. Our help taking the ship, maybe, she disagreed. But Gideon himself, you did that. You fought him one-on-one. An Izha Khan. And you won. Din didn't know what an Izha Khan was, but from the way Koska said the word, Din knew he could make a guess. She spoke of it like the Tuscan spoke of an Azagad. Most Azagade were relatively informal. The Tuscans used them most often to train each other, to spar, to hone their skills and stave off boredom, to keep themselves in fighting shape during the rainy season, during the weeks of harvest once the desert had bloomed. But not all Azagade were friendly spars. Two rivals could challenge each other to a duel for the right to lead a war party. Chieftains could be challenged by their warriors, and if a chieftain lost the fight, they lost the right to lead the tribe. And if one Tuscan accused another of a crime, killing a bantha, cutting down a sacred tree, failing to provide for a maid or a child, the accusation could be settled with blood on the sands. An honor duel. It wasn't like that, Din said. He was cornered. He wanted to go for the Darksaber. He wanted to leave. We weren't fighting for anything. He attacked me. I fought back. That was it. Din had been willing to let Gideon go without a fight. He would have if Gideon had just given Din Grogu, if he'd just let Din and the kid go. Kreese had wanted Gideon. Din would have let her have him if Gideon had only let Din walk out of that cell with the kid in his arms. But Gideon had waited until Din's back had been turned, and then he'd attacked, the Darksaber shrieking through the air, sizzling off of Din's Beskar. And Din had defended himself. That was all. I wanted my son, Din said. He couldn't look Koska in the eyes anymore. He couldn't stand to see the mingled respect and pity in her face. So he fixed his eyes on the pitcher of water Nura had set out instead. That doesn't matter, Koska said. It adds to the story, even. What's more honorable than fighting to defend one's kid? I didn't fight Gideon to make some kind of... to make a point, Din said a little desperately. The jaws of the trap were tightening around him. I didn't...
Jaren, Casca said, her tone hardening. Gideon, he destroyed us.
That stopped Din in his tracks.
He destroyed us, Casca repeated.
He didn't do it on his own. Garsaxen, Verkopau, Taparan, and his super commandos did their part. And Gideon did call in the Empire, but...
He was the one who pulled the trigger, Jaren, she said.
Gideon, he was the one who destroyed Mandalore.
Din saw the flat, dead surface of the planet in his mind's eye again. The shattered city domes. He screwed his eyes shut for a second, struck by a peculiar pain, then made himself open them again.
Casca, he tried.
But Casca shook her head.
Honestly, she said, it doesn't matter. If Gideon had fought Bo instead, if he'd let you go with your kid, well, we'd be having a different conversation, probably. But
he didn't fight Bo. He didn't fight me or Axe, one of us who'd make sure that Bo got that victory.
He fought you, and you won.
So what? Din snapped, rounding back on Casca. He felt his face twist into something, a snarl maybe, a mask of wild grief.
Casca held her ground.
Din thought that he might respect her for it later, because he was angry and he knew that he looked it, that he probably looked just as wild as any crate dragon had ever looked when it had been caught and the hunters were approaching it with their Gaderfi drawn.
That makes me Kreese's figurehead?
More of an object lesson, said Casca. But, yeah, kind of.
Din stared at her. His blood roared in his ears.
An object lesson, he said.
Casca only shrugged.
Yeah, she said.
You make a good story, you know?
Lone warrior, clan wiped out by the Empire.
Yeah, she added, when she saw Din flinch at that.
We heard what happened to your people on Navarro.
Garichoi Saneritoi.
But despite all of that, you still went up against the Empire. You won. That's...
I don't know, Jaren.
Casca spread her hands again.
Not many of us can say that, she continued gently enough.
Din almost hated that. Her soothing tone, like a hunter murmuring reassurances to its prey just before she went in with a Verd knife for the soft skin of Din's throat, more than what Casca was saying. His hands curled into loose fists, his vision narrowed. He wanted to.
Not many of us have gone up against the Empire like you did and lived, let alone won.
That you managed it, that you came out with the Darksaber, too.
Casca shook her head.
Kreese, said Din, his mouth curiously numb, wants me at the summit as an example. She doesn't want me there as her Talvod. She wants...
She's gonna introduce you as Talvod, actually, said Casca.
As, well, she's going to introduce you as what you are, an ally of House Kreese, as proof that the remnants can be fought, that we can beat them if we work together. That's all.
That's not all, Din managed to say.
He curled his hands tighter until he could feel his knuckles pop and creak.
She wants me to be...
What you are, Casca said softly.
A Mandalorian.
Not just a Mandalorian, Din thought a little wildly. She wants me to be the perfect Mandalorian. To be, what, some kind of story that the others can believe in?
Kreese wanted Din to be an idea. She wanted him to be the desert tale Fennec had told him that he looked like, the Hara Ali burning in the sands.
It was not, if Din thought about it in a cooler, more distant part of his mind, a bad play on Kreese's part. What Casca had said about Moff Gideon was true. He had destroyed Mandalore. Din's own people hadn't paid all that much attention to the destruction of Mandalore, honestly. Their only response to the purges had been to go deeper underground, to tighten their rules and to keep most of their warriors out of sight.
but other Mandalorians had either lived through it or witnessed the aftermath. Kreese wanted Mandalore, and when she found out that she couldn't have it, she decided that she wants revenge instead, Din thought. But if everyone who's left is too afraid to try the remnants, then Kreese would need something to prove to any other Mandalorian survivors that the Empire could be beaten. She had wanted to be that beacon, that symbol, herself. That was why she'd insisted on facing Gideon. Why she'd been so angry when Gideon hadn't gone along with her plan and had faced off against Din instead. That's why she can't just take the Darksaber from me, Din realized. Usually, putting all of the pieces of a holopuzzle together pleased Din, gave him a rush of satisfaction. But this time, now that he'd finally figured it all out, he just felt faintly sick. I can't just give it to her because I earned it, and she's using that to prove that her quest is possible. It was the kind of strategy that Din could imagine the armorer coming up with. The strength of the tribe, after all, was its warriors. There was some room for individual glory. Din and Paz wouldn't have fought so bitterly over who'd been chosen to be Baroia otherwise. But what one warrior did brought glory or shame to the whole covert. When Din did well on a hunt, the whole tribe got to eat. When Paz drove off slavers or thieves, the whole tribe was kept safe. If Kreese says that I'm part of her tribe, her Talvod, then she does get to make the argument that we defeated the Empire, he thought. It's not just that I beat Gideon, it's that we raided a remnant ship, took on a remnant moth, and won. She wants me to be her armor, Din said dully. Casca nodded, relief flickering across her face. She thought that Din understood, that he had come around to what she wanted, to why she'd bothered to come to Tatooine in the first place. Of course Kreese would want to make sure that Din was still alive and well, that he was going to attend the summit, that he remembered his duty. He was a piece of Beskar armor, polished up to a bright, strong shine, and Kreese wanted to be fully protected, fully prepared, to make her argument to the other factions. But she's wrong, Din thought. Din finally had all the pieces of the holopuzzle, but Kreese was still missing one. Din wasn't the perfect Mandalorian. He wasn't Mandalorian at all. He had broken his creed. And when Kreese figured that out... I have to tell Casca now, Din thought, a faint sense of urgency struggling to break through the haze of panic that had descended over his thoughts. She needs to know now, before we have an audience, before... Din had learned that lesson with Boba. He needed to tell Casca before she could make any other plans, before she thought that she understood everything. There were still a few days before the summit. There would be time for Casca and Kreese to come up with something else, with some other plan. One that didn't involve parading Din out in front of a few hundred other Mandalorians like he was some kind of war hero. I'm not an example, Din thought. I'm not even Mandalorian. I'm Darmanda. I don't want to be what Kreese wants. Din didn't want to lie anymore. Casca, said Din. He gathered all of his courage and stood up straight. He lifted his chin. She would be angry, but I can take her in a fight, Din thought. And I'm not alone. Boba will help me. Casca raised an eyebrow. Din took a deep breath. I have to tell you something. I can't. Darmanda was on the tip of Din's tongue, hot as a forge coal. But before he could get the word out, there was a timid-sounding knock on the door behind them, and before Din or Casca could even react to it and reach for the door opened, and a familiar pale-orange face peered into the room. It was Geeta. She had a tray in her hands, several cups of what Din assumed was Tihar bounced atop it, and her eyes darted quickly between Din and Casca. Her face was its usual polite mask, a dancer's arch expression, but the stiffness of her leku, the pallor of her skin, told Din that she was afraid.
"Forgive me," said Geeta, demure. Lord Fett would like to extend his hospitality."
She offered the tray to Casca, who looked at it, then at Din, with a baffled expression.
"Kirk," Din thought.
He didn't want Geeta caught up in any crossfire between Din and Casca. She didn't deserve to get hurt just because Din had been a coward and an idiot. "Excuse us for a minute," Din said curtly. And before Casca could get a word in edgewise, Din ushered Geeta back out into the hall and stepped out with her, shutting the door behind him. The barrier between his body and Casca's made relief punch Din low in the gut. His finger shook. He blinked to clear his eyes, then looked down at Geeta. She looked back, her own eyes very wide. The rest of her expression was calm and distant, her usual mask in its usual place, but her wide eyes gave her away. She was worried.
"About me?" Din wondered.
The tray in Geeta's hands didn't shake, though. Her grip was steady. Din looked down the hallway in either direction. To the left, deeper into the palace, the hall was empty. To the right, Din could see the throne room, still packed, but the mouth of the hall was guarded by Tava, the fierce green Twi'lek with just one scarred leku, and a human woman Din had never met. Tava and the woman were facing the crowd, not Din, but their postures were set and they were easy enough to read. They were guarding Din. They were keeping the crowd, and anyone in it who might be interested in information about Boba Fett's favorite hunter, away from him. Geeta caught the direction of Din's gaze and nodded.
"The boss has them standing guard," she explained, "to keep everyone away."
That was a good sign, Din hoped, that Boba was still trying to protect Din, even if he didn't understand what Casca wanted or why she'd shown up in his throne room.
"Tell him thanks for me if you can," Din said. He kept his voice low.
Din knew that Tava and the other guard were probably trustworthy. Fennec had vetted everyone who bore arms in Boba's palace, but Din still trusted Geeta more. Geeta nodded again. She bit her lip, her professional mask slipping a little, and looked over Din's shoulder at the door.
Is everything okay?" she asked anxiously. She's not one of the other Mandalorians who was staying here, is she? They had black armor."
"You saw Strill and Jag?" Din asked, surprised. Geeta nodded for a third time. Her leku were twitching uneasily.
"I brought them food a few times," she explained.
At Din's blank look, he'd left his helmet in the room with Casca, she added,
"I help Ushib in the kitchen sometimes. It's nice there, quiet. But those Mandalorians, their armor was all black, wasn't it?"
"Mostly black," Din said, thinking of the chipped golden paint that lines Strill's Carta Beskar, of Jag's blue stripes. "No, you're right. This Mandalorian. The others were... they were my people," Din said, trying to order his thoughts. "My tribe." Casca had rattled him badly. His ears were still ringing like she'd punched him. Din blinked again, trying to clear his head, and focused on Geeta. He couldn't afford to let her, to let anyone, see how badly Casca rattled him.
"This one isn't your tribe?" Geeta asked, cocking her head a little.
"But she's Mandalorian, isn't she?" "She is," Din said. He didn't feel like explaining the nuances of being Mandalorian. Not that there were many, as far as the creed was concerned, to Geeta, so he didn't. She's an ally of mine," he said, "but she's of a different tribe. Like Ruli and all of her cousins."
"Oh," said Geeta, her expression clearing up.
Geeta didn't have a large, sprawling family, not like some of the other Twi'lek clans who lived in Mos Eisley. Geeta's mother had come to Tatooine alone, without any of her kinsmen. But Ruli's entire family were here. Not just her parents and her siblings, but her entire tribe, cousins and aunts and uncles, married kin. Geeta grimaced.
"If she's anything like Ruli's family, good luck," Geeta muttered.
Din softened a little.
Thanks, he muttered back.
Gita flashed him a small smile, still looking at the door behind him, and then she lifted the tray in her hands a little higher.
Does she want anything to eat, to drink? Nora's worrying about being a bad hostess.
Gita smiled at Din again, more directly this time, obviously trying to set him at ease. And Din couldn't help but feel a surge of affection for her.
She's not staying, Din said. She's... Koska's business is elsewhere. She just came by to remind me of something, that's all. Nora doesn't need to worry about feeding her.
Oh, said Gita again, visibly relaxing. Her leku twitched, the movement looser now. Some of her usual color had returned.
Din caught that and raised an eyebrow, confused. To his surprise, Gita blushed.
She's relieved, Din thought, confusion deepening.
Confusion was better than fear, though. Better than the wild panic he'd felt in the little room with Koska, so Din leaned into it.
Why?
Gita cleared her throat, embarrassed to be caught out.
I was worried she'd come to take you away from us, Gita said, looking at the bridge of Din's nose instead of his eyes. That's all.
Oh, Din said, touched again. He didn't know what else to say. It made sense, he supposed, that Gita felt safer with Din in the palace. Now that Zero was dead, Din and Kasik were the two who'd spent the most time with Gita, who'd ferried her home every night after a shift at the bar, who'd protected her.
She doesn't want to lose that protection, Din realized. He softened even further towards Gita just a little. He couldn't help it. He dropped his shoulders to cushion his next words.
I am leaving, he said apologetically. His thoughts were still whirling, but Gita had given Din some space from Koska to actually think instead of just react.
Din did need to tell Koska that he was Darmanda, but...
I should tell Kreez, too, Din thought. To her face, I mean. I owe her that, don't I?
Just because Din was Darmanda didn't mean that he couldn't still act with honor after all. Din had had that argument too many times now, with Boba, with Paz, with himself, to bother having it again. Just because he was Darmanda didn't mean he had to act like a warak, like a mindless beast.
I should explain myself, Din thought. And he did want to go to the summit. There was a chance, he knew, that Kreez's people had managed to find other children of the Watch. That maybe even what was left of Din's own covert, the Armorer at least, maybe some of the others too. Annika and the kids she'd managed to gather, Den, Arena, someone, would be there. Din took a breath and nodded, calmer now. Only for a few days, he added quickly when he saw Gita's eyes widen further, when her embarrassed blush drained away to pale alarm. It shouldn't take me more than a week.
Unless Kreez does kill me, Din thought, but Gita didn't need to hear about that.
She wasn't unreasonable. She'd be angry with Din for throwing such a spanner in her plans, but Kreez was the sort of lothcat who always landed on her feet. She'd come up with some other strategy, some other plan to win warriors to her cause.
You can't leave now, Gita objected.
Her voice was loud enough to draw Tava's attention from the mouth of the hallway. Din saw Tava's leku twitch.
I don't really want to, Din admitted. He kept his own voice low. He would much rather stay here, even if there was a chance that some of his own people, his former brothers and sisters, would be at the summit. I'm not safe here, he thought. I'm not ever safe, not really. Gorga could come crashing down on top of all of them at any moment. But here, in the palace, with Boba, Din had tribe. He had clan. It wasn't the clan he'd thought he'd have. Din hadn't ever expected to break the creed, to lose his people. But he had. And after Morak, he hadn't expected to have a tribe again.
hadn't looked for one, not beyond the splintered little family he'd found with Grogu. But he had one now. And it's here, Din thought. It's not on Kronest, it's not on the Gratua. It's here, and I don't want to leave. But Din had given Kreese his word, and just because he was Darmanda didn't mean that he should break his word because it was more convenient, because it would be easier. I told her that I would go to the summit, Din thought. So I will. I have to go, Din said gently. It's important. Geeta bit her lip. Kasik will still be here, Din said, trying his best to reassure her. Geeta wasn't a little child, not like Grogu. Grogu had been easy to reassure. All it took to calm him down, usually, after something frightened him, was Din scooping Grogu up and tucking the kid close to his chest. I don't think Geeta would appreciate that, Din thought. He settled himself for offering her what he hoped was an encouraging smile. Everything will be fine, Din said. He saw Tava's Leku twitch again out of the corner of his eye and repeated himself. He didn't want to spook anyone else in the palace. Everything will be fine. It's just Mandalorian business, is all. Geeta looked up at Din for a moment, then nodded. For the first time since she'd poked her head into the room with Din and Casca, the tray in her hands shook a little. Is Lord Fett, is he going to leave too? She asked. That's the question, isn't it? Din thought. He didn't have a good answer. He wanted Boba to go, but... Is Lord Fett, Boba cut in, his tone low and fierce. Doing what? He had appeared at the mouth of the hallway, between Tava and the human guard. He was fully armored. The crowd behind him was still making its own noise, music playing, conversations picked back up, but Din could see eyes turning in Boba's direction again. Boba stepped past the guards, and they moved smoothly to fill the space he'd left, effectively blocking the hallway off from other palace guests. Are you all right? Boba continued, moving towards Din. Something settled in Din's chest then. Relief. He was worried, Din thought. Yes, said Din firmly. I'm fine. Casca, she surprised me, that's all. It's all right. Boba made a gruff noise. And her business? Has room for you, too, if you want, Din said. He didn't care if Casca didn't want Boba involved. Din wanted Boba involved, and if Kreese intended to use Din as some cookfire story to rally other Mandalorians to fight the Empire, Kreese could deal with Boba, too. If you have time. Court's done, Boba confirmed. He tilted his chin in Geeta's direction, then held out his hands for her tray. Nura's gonna need you behind bar, he said. We can take it from here. Geeta looked between Din and Boba, but her familiarity with Din, hard won as it had been, clearly didn't extend to Boba, because she ducked her head in a nod and gave Boba the tray, then fled. Boba looked down at the cups of Tihar and sighed. The sound crackled through his helmet. What, he said, voice low, am I walking into, Din? The way she talked to you sounded like an ambush. It was, Din admitted, trying to think of the quickest way to explain the situation to Boba before Casca got bored in that room by herself and came to see what was going on. I don't think she meant it to be, though. It was my fault. I forgot. Forgot what? Said Boba warily. Din grimaced. There's a gathering, he said. A summit, I guess? On Kronest in a few days. Kreese called it. She wants to gather the Mandalorians. What Mandalorians? Boba asked. All of them. Din said. Boba snorted. No, Din pressed. I'm being serious, Boba. She asked me to tell the Children of the Watch, my tribe if I could find any, and it sounded like she was sending her people out to anyone she could find when I was on the light cruiser last.
Bo-Katan Kryze, said Boba flatly, is hosting a gathering for all Mandalorians.
Din shrugged, uncomfortable.
That's what she told me, he said.
And you have done what she's asked, Boba continued. I assume you extended the invitation to Vizsla?
And the Verdike, Din said.
Boba made another rough sound.
And this summit, he said, is in a few days.
Din winced.
It is, he confirmed.
Said Boba.
He didn't say anything else.
Silence expanded between them.
Din didn't like it.
I know, Din said, rushing to fill the silence before it could set between them. I should have... Boba, I just...
I forgot, Din said.
Boba looked at Din, expression hidden behind his helmet.
You forgot, he said.
Din nodded. Between all of the hunting and Jassa and us and I... Din stopped. Embarrassment flushed his cheeks, his ears. Din was a blooded warrior, admitting that he'd forgotten something as important as this because he'd been too busy enjoying Boba's company, his body.
Boba saw it and relented.
You've been busy, he said gruffly.
My fault too, I imagine.
I've kept you busy.
I haven't minded, Din added quickly. His flush deepened, but it was true. Din hadn't minded. Even the actual work he'd done for Boba. The hunting, the hours spent in Mos Eisley or the Canyonlands, had been work that Din had been glad to do.
That's the problem, actually, Din thought. I prefer being here, being part of all of this. So much so that I didn't want to think about Kryze at all.
No, Boba said. His tone had softened fractionally.
I didn't think you had.
He sighed.
Is that all the Rurika wanted, then, to remind you of the summit?
More or less, Din said. There's, well...
Kryze wants something from me in particular. She won't want it when I tell her that I'm Darmanda, I don't think, but...
You're going to tell her? Boba asked, stiffening. The cups on his tray rattled.
Din blinked at him.
I am, he said. I didn't...
You asked me not to tell her when I went up to the light cruiser, Din said.
So I didn't.
But you're here now, so Casca won't try anything. Or if she does, she won't be able to get very far. And she should know. It's...
I don't want to lie anymore, Boba.
Din didn't use Boba's name very often outside of Boba's rooms. Boba had a reputation to maintain. He couldn't afford to show much preference or any weakness, not in the throne room or out in the city. So when they were outside of Boba's rooms, Din tried to protect Boba by showing Boba the proper deference. Boba was the king here. But he couldn't help but call Boba by his name now. It was stupid, maybe. Tava and the other guard were keeping the crowd away, but there were plenty of species on Tatooine with sharp ears. But it was just...
Casca, she rattled me, Din thought.
He could admit that to himself, at least. He was rattled, shaken by what she told him, what she wanted.
I don't want to be Kryze's symbol, Din thought. I just...
Boba finally softened all the way, some of his combative stance easing. Din couldn't see his face, but he imagined that Boba had sighed, rolled his eyes like he did sometimes fondly when Din had done something particularly exasperating.
All right, Boba said.
I'm not sure telling Reeves right now is a good idea, Jarka, but if it's what you want...
Din hesitated.
It wasn't a matter of what he wanted. Din wanted all of this to go away, frankly.
He didn't want anything to do with Kreese's quest at all. But keeping the truth from her, it's dishonorable, Din thought. She has made her plans. She took me at my word when I said that I'd help her, so I should keep to that word. I can't be her figurehead, but I can still help.
I've got your back, Din, Boba added. The words were soft, pitched low so that only Din could hear them. They warmed Din to the bone anyway.
If you want to tell Reeves now, I'm with you.
Din nodded.
Come on, then, he muttered. Might as well get it over with, right?
Boba nodded.
Din laid his hand on the door, then looked at Boba again.
I know you don't like her, Din said quietly, and you don't like Kreese either, but...
I can mind my manners, Jerrica, Boba murmured. He did sound exasperated now. As long as she does, anyway. I won't throw the first punch.
Boba had managed to hold his temper with Strill and Jag and Paz, more or less. He'd set aside his dislike of them for Din's sake. Din could trust that Boba would do the same now. Din didn't have the language to describe what that meant to him. Boba's support, and Boba's begrudging tolerance of other Mandalorians just for Din's sake. So he just nodded, and Din opened the door again, standing aside to let Boba take the lead. Boba entered the room, setting the tray down on the table, and tilted his head in Koska's direction. He kept his helmet on. Koska hadn't put hers back on, and she hadn't dismantled the room or paced a hole in the floor while Din had been in the hall with Geeta either. She lifted her chin at Boba.
Lord Fett, Koska said, her tone light, almost mocking.
Koska, Din said warningly, stepping in after Boba and closing the door behind him. Play nice, you're the guest here. She curled her lip.
A welcome one, I'm sure, she said.
Any ally of Din's is always welcome here, Boba said. He gestured at the tray of Tihar. Drink, Reeves. It's an old family recipe.
A treasured one, no doubt, Koska said.
She didn't reach for a cup. Her dark eyes were fixed on Boba's helmet. Din didn't like the look in her eye. She could not, Din thought, be much older than 30. She was too young to have been a part of Death Watch. Koska Reeves had no reason to look at Boba Fett the way she was looking at him now, like he was her worst enemy.
Everything that happened between Jango Fett and Tor Vizsla, that was years ago, Din thought. Before Bo-Katan's time, even. So what's the problem here? Din didn't understand. But it had been like this on Trask, too. As soon as Boba had walked into the cantina at Din's side, Koska had gone for him like a cola claw fish scenting blood in the water.
We don't have time for this, Din thought.
Din cleared his throat, making both Koska and Boba look at him instead of each other. The hairs on the back of Din's neck prickled. Somehow, despite both Boba and Koska calming down individually, simply being in a room with each other had reintroduced the possibility of a fight. You two already know each other, Din said, trying to figure out how to diffuse the tension before tossing a rather messy grenade into Kreese's, and by extension, Koska's plans. So I won't bother introducing you. But Koska, Boba is my ally, and Boba, Koska is my ally too. You have different plans, but...
You don't need to play peacemaker, Jaren, Koska said, her lip curling faintly. I'll be leaving here just as soon as you and I are finished. I'd hate to strain your hospitality, Lord Fett.
Din closed his eyes and counted down from 10 in hot ease.
Koska, he tried.
After all, Koska continued, her eyes glittering, I'd hate to disrupt such important business. What are you freighting in today, Fett? Spice? Slave girls?
You don't know my business, said Boba, with what Din thought was pretty remarkable restraint given Boba's temper.
I know your father would be proud, Koska said, her teeth flashing. If he'd still call himself that, of course. It's not every day a walking test tube sets himself up as King of the Hutt's Kaldav, is it?
What? Walking test tube? Din thought, confused. He pulled back a little, trying to understand what was happening, but pulling away gave Casca more room to maneuver, and she immediately pressed her advantage and went for Boba again. Boba growled. He didn't drop his hand to his blaster, but that was all right. Din did it for him. His fingers closed over the hilt of the darksaber. Honestly, Jaren, Casca continued, though she was looking at Boba, expression fierce. I know he's your redeur and all, but I don't know how he tricked you into it, because... Casca! Din snapped, rage splintering through him like a shard of ice. Something in his tone, or the sound of the darksaber hissing to life, its black and white blade crackling in Din's fist, extended towards her like a promise, finally got through to her. Because Casca closed her mouth and reluctantly looked at Din, breaking her glare with Boba. Boba had frozen. Probably to keep from tackling Casca into the wall, not that Din would blame him if he did. Boba had. He'd held up his end of the agreement. He had offered Casca something to drink. But Casca... Din didn't know what she'd meant by what she'd said. About Boba being a walking test tube, or about his father not being proud of him. What Redur meant, though Din did remember now snapping that Boba was his Redur on the light cruiser, but he didn't have to understand what Casca'd said to understand that she was deliberately trying to rile Boba up to provoke a fight. And Din was out of patience. That, he said, the darksaber humming in his hand, is enough. Casca scowled. That's enough, Din growled. Anger, true, genuine anger, not just annoyance or irritation or even a little flash of temper, formed a fist in his heart. He wanted to hit Casca. If all you're gonna do is insult him, you can leave and tell Kreese to go cark herself, Din continued. He glared at Casca fiercely. She wasn't looking at his face. She was looking at the darksaber, but he could tell that he'd made his point. Casca scowled. Din was angry enough to press his advantage. Boba, Din continued, his voice a hiss above the crackling darksaber, is not your enemy. Treating him like he is Darija, and I won't let you do it in front of me. Boba was still silent. His hands had curled into fists. Din could taste the edge of Boba's anger. Is that a condition? Casca finally asked. Her jaw worked. For your cooperation? For my... Casca, Din snapped. I've already agreed to help you. I'm going to Kreese's summit. If she wants to wave me around like a carking trophy kill, fine. I keep my word. All I'm asking is that you conduct yourself with honor. Boba doesn't like you any more than you like him, but he's acting honorably. Casca snorted. Honorably, she said. I know you think he's all right, Jaren. I wanted to believe you, but he doesn't have any honor. Din did lose his temper then, just a little. He hadn't meant to, but he hated the way Casca was talking about Boba, speaking past him like he wasn't even there. Din lashed out with the darksaber, an easy, straightforward blow, hardly more than a flick of his wrist. And the table in the middle of the room collapsed into two pieces, smoking where the darksaber had split it. Casca's helmet, Din's too, though he cared less about that, clattered to the stone floor in a shower of sparks. Casca's entire body stiffened with outrage. I don't have any honor then, Din told her. This wasn't how he wanted to say it. He hadn't wanted Boba and Casca to fight. They were both Din's allies. If they could tolerate each other for even a few minutes at a time, everyone would have an easier time, not just Din. What are you talking about? Casca asked, incredulous. She gestured at the darksaber. You're Ijatab, I'm Darmanda, Din said. Casca physically recoiled. Her eyes went wide with horror and confusion. Din set his jaw. I broke my creed, he said. I'm...
I broke it months ago, before I even asked for your help, before we defeated Gideon.
Din, Boba murmured, finally stirring again.
Din ignored him. He was determined to make Casca understand now. I was Darmanda when I won this, Din said. He gestured with a darksaber, the blade humming as it moved through the air. I don't have any honor. Me. It's me you should be insulting, not Boba.
Casca stared at Din.
You can't be, she said.
I am, Din said.
Casca looked at Boba again.
He doesn't understand, she said.
What have you been telling him?
It's not Boba's fault, Din cut in.
He took a step towards Casca and was darkly gratified when she took a step back, her eyes locking on the darksaber again.
Good, he thought. Maybe now she'll understand.
It would shame him later, Din knew, when his anger passed, when he stepped back and realized what he'd done. But now, after the way Casca had spoken to Boba, after the way she'd breezed into the throne room and set the galaxy on its ear again, throwing Din's life into disarray, it felt good just a little to snatch some of that control back from her. The darksaber crackled in Din's hand like it agreed with him.
It's not his fault, Din repeated. It's not anyone's fault but mine. I knew what I was doing.
You broke your creed, Casca said. She was trying to regain her footing in the conversation. She had finally realized that she was outnumbered.
I did, Din said.
Willingly?
That doesn't matter, Din thought.
Willingly, unwillingly, on purpose or by mistake, it didn't matter how Din had broken his creed. It just mattered that he had.
Yes, Din said.
He'd meant to tell Casca why, to explain to her, like he'd explained to Paz and Boba, that he'd broken his creed to save Grogu, to find out where the light cruiser was. But it didn't matter why he'd done it, not really, and Din wasn't interested in Casca trying to explain Din's own creed to him. She would take the fact that he'd broken it to save Grogu as a loophole of some kind, an exception. She'd want to... If Din had broken the creed for an exceptional reason, no doubt Kreese could pretend that Din was a Mandalorian still.
I'm sorry, Din said, trying to reel his anger back in. He really didn't want this to devolve into a fight.
Din was tired. He wanted Casca to leave. I understand that Kreese's plans will have to change now. If she needs this...
Din deactivated the darksaber and turned the hilt around in his hand. He offered it to Casca, who stared at it like it was a spit viper about to strike.
She can have it, Din said.
Take it to her. Tell her that I'm not Mandalorian anymore, so she doesn't need to fight me for it. She can just take it.
That's not how this works, said Casca slowly.
She looked up at Din again, and any remaining traces of friendliness, her easy acceptance of Din as her ally, as another one of Kreese's Talvod, a comrade in arms, were gone. She looked at him like he was a spit viper, too.
Take it, Din repeated, offering her the blade.
But Casca shook her head.
No, she said. That's not my choice.
It wasn't my choice to get stuck with it, Din said, impatient.
Boba still hadn't moved, and Din was starting to worry about him now.
She's the one who wants it.
I have to... Bo will need to hear about this, Casca said slowly. She had edged away from Din. Her helmet was still on the floor. She'll have to decide what to do next.
That was fair, Din supposed. It wasn't Casca's plan that Din had ruined, after all.
Tell her, then, Din said. You can get a comm signal out. Ask her if she wants it.
If she wants me to...
If she'd rather I stay away from the summit now.
I'll go if she wants me to. I will keep my word, Din added when surprise and disbelief flashed across Casca's face.
But you need to understand, Casca. I am Darmanda. If you believe that means I have no honor...
You're not staying here, Boba finally said, coming back to life with a small shake of his helmet.
He had set aside whatever had angered him so badly.
You...
I don't care if you insult me, Night Owl, but Jaren, he is under my protection. You're a danger to him. You won't stay here.
Boba, Din said, but Boba shook his head.
Ask her, he rumbled. If she called Kreese now and Kreese told her to put a knife in your heart, she would do it. Wouldn't you, Reeves?
Din looked at Casca again. He knew better than to hope that she'd deny it. He had liked her, after all. She'd been, well, she had been his only ally in the light cruiser. But that was when she thought that I was like her, he thought. And now she knows the truth.
I can see that I've overstayed my welcome, then, Casca said.
She had recovered some, either gotten over or managed to hide her shock. She didn't look at Din or the Darksaber again, and when she bent to pick up her helmet, she did it without taking her eyes off of Boba.
I don't need to strain your hospitality, Lord Fett.
Casca, Din tried. He held out the Darksaber again. I am Darmanda, but I'm not your enemy. I still want to help. I can't do it in the way Kreese wants me to. Casca didn't look at the Darksaber. She looked past Din like he wasn't even in the room. That stung, but honestly, it was what should have happened from the beginning. Din had been Darmanda all this time. Other Mandalorians weren't even supposed to acknowledge his existence anymore. He was lost.
The summit, Casca said, addressing the wall, is in 3 days. Bo-Katan has declared it neutral ground. No one who attends will be hurt or killed. Thank you for your honesty, Jaren.
And then she jammed her helmet back on over her head, and with considerable bravery, shouldered her way past Din and left. The door echoed as it slammed shut behind her. Din stared after her, reeling. The Darksaber was still in his hand. But she didn't come back, either to attack Din or decide that she'd forgiven him after all. And after several tense seconds, Din made himself blow out a breath. He returned the Darksaber to its place at his side. His fingers were trembling faintly.
That could have gone better, I guess, Din muttered.
He looked at Boba, anxious. Casca's dismissal of Din himself stung, but Din had been expecting it. But the hostility she turned on Boba...
Din, said Boba slowly. He still had his helmet on, and his voice was blank with shock. Why did she call me your Redur?
What? Oh, Din said, wincing a little. He decided that being honest was probably the best way forward. Boba was already angry.
Last time I was on the light cruiser, he said, trying to explain. After Gorga's raid, Casca, she was, well, she said something that I didn't like. And when I got angry, she asked if you were my Redur. I didn't like the way she said it, so I said that you were.
Boba stared at him. Din flushed.
It's a word like ally, right? He said. Or friend?
She said it like you couldn't possibly be my friend, like she couldn't believe I'd say yes, so...
So you said yes, Boba said.
Din nodded.
I see, said Boba.
I probably mistranslated, Din admitted. I don't know much Mandoa still, and you'd told me not to let them know that, so...
So you did what you thought you had to, Boba said. He nodded.
I understand.
Oh, said Din. He still didn't like the edge in Boba's voice, didn't understand it. But Din had had several conversations that he didn't understand today, each more disastrous than the last, so he supposed he could keep going.
I'm sorry.
Boba shook his head and seemed to recover a little. He seemed to get over whatever had surprised him.
Don't be sorry, said Boba gruffly. You didn't need to lay into Reeves like that, you know. Not for me.
Din scowled.
She was out of line and she knew it, he said. I told her that you weren't.
I am sorry,
Din said, more sincerely that time. He looked at the ruined table, the still-smoking scar where he'd hit it with the darksaber. She's my ally, he said. And she behaved dishonorably, so I'm sorry. Boba managed a faint snort at that. I'm not going to hold you responsible for one of Kreese's people being a Shabweer, Din, he said. Reeves is a blooded warrior. She knew what she was doing. Still, Din said, unhappy. I wish... Really, Jarika, Boba said. It's fine. If you say so, Din said, still uncertain. He wished that he could see Boba's face. That would help him understand if Boba really was fine or not. Why did Cusca call you a walking test tube? That made Boba drop short again. What? When she was trying to get a rise out of you, Din said, she called you a walking test tube. I don't understand what that means. Are you from a different part of Mandalore? Din, said Boba slowly. I'm not from Mandalore at all. Oh. That wasn't a surprise, not really. Din wasn't from Mandalore either. But Jango Fett had been a true Mandalorian. Din had just assumed that meant that Boba's family had come from Mandalore too, like House Kreese. Concordia, then? Din, Boba said, repeating his name. Din frowned. There was an odd edge in Boba's voice again, something new and sharp. And Din didn't know where it had come from. She called me a walking test tube, Boba said, because I'm a clone. Din blinked. What? Boba stared at Din some more. I am, said Boba, a clone of Jango Fett. That's why she called me what she did. She's not born. I'm not. Oh, Din said. Several things made sense to Din all at once. Kreese had called Boba a clone before. On Trask, when Din had been trying to recruit Kreese and Koska's help, she'd called him a clone to Din's face. But Din had just assumed... What, he thought, a little wildly, that she was saying he was too much like his father? Oh, Boba repeated, his voice made hollow by his helmet. Din tried to recover. Din didn't know anything about cloning, not really. It was something that only the very rich did these days. Most cloning facilities had been shut down after the Clone Wars. That's... Okay, Din said. He blinked, then frowned. Wait, was Reeves saying that there's something wrong with you being a clone? Boba stayed silent. She was, Din murmured, mostly to himself. He narrowed his eyes in fresh outrage. Koska had been trying to imply that Jango Fett wouldn't care to call Boba his son because Boba was a clone? Because he was a genetic copy of Jango Fett? Because Boba'd done well for himself on Tatooine? Din swore. He didn't have all of the words in Mandoa to articulate just how furious he was with Koska, with Kreese, too, because she'd implied the same thing on Trask. So he started in Rill and went through Hutties and Tuskra, too. Din, Boba said. It's ridiculous, Din said, throwing his hands in the air. Koska had managed to upset Din several times today. She'd surprised him, she had frustrated him, and now she had offended him to the very core of his being. Boba paused. To say that you're not your father's son, what does being a clone have to do with anything? Din continued, his anger pushing him to keep talking. Your father chose you, and that's enough to make you Mandalorian. That's like saying foundlings aren't a part of the tribe because they were born somewhere else, like... Din, Boba said, and there was enough urgency in his voice that Din did pause, his anger momentarily derailed. When Boba was sure that Din was looking at him,
He nodded, like he had made a decision. "Din," Boba repeated. "I'm not Mandalorian." All of Din's scattered thoughts crashed to a complete, immediate, shuddering halt. "What?" he said. He didn't understand. Boba was Mandalorian. Of course he was Mandalorian. He spoke the language. He knew the stories of it, the history. He was a foundling son. He'd shown Din the chain code embedded into his armor. Jango Fett had been a foundling, and foundlings were Mandalorian. "Boba, I am not Mandalorian," Boba said, the edge in his voice sharpened. Din flinched and wished that he hadn't, because as soon as he did, he saw Boba recoil too. "I never said that I was." But Din didn't understand. Boba had been to Mandalore. He wore Mandalorian armor. He wore Mandalorian armor. If Boba wasn't a Mandalorian... "What?" Boba snapped, pulling further away. "But what, Din? I never claimed to be Mandalorian. You knew that." "No, I didn't," Din said, pushed beyond the limits of his understanding and upset by it. "It wasn't... I told him everything," Din thought. He had told Boba more about Din himself than he'd told any other living being. He'd taken his armor off for Boba. He'd bared himself down to the bone, let Boba look, because Boba, of everyone else in the galaxy, had understood, Din thought. He understood. His father was Darmanda, too, he said, so he knew what that meant. He knew what that meant. Din had thought that Boba understood what it had meant for Din to lose his tribe, that Boba had understood what it was to be a Mandalorian alone, to try and manage all of that honor, all of that expectation. But if Boba wasn't Mandalorian, had never been Mandalorian at all... "Then he doesn't know me," Din thought. Grief tore at him. "He doesn't understand. You told me that your father had been a foundling," Din said distantly. "He was," said Boba, impatient. "The kark does that have to do with me?" "I was a foundling," Din said. "Foundling children became Mandalorian warriors. That was how it worked. And because Din was Mandalorian, or... had been Mandalorian anyway, when he'd found Grogu. Grogu, Din's son, was Mandalorian too. Boba was Jango Fett's son. Din knew that. Boba had claimed that, at least. That Boba was apparently also a clone of Jango Fett was beside the point. If Jango had claimed Boba as his son, then Boba was. And that meant that Boba was Mandalorian too. "I..." said Boba, his tone cold and cutting. "Am not you." Din flinched again. He couldn't help it. Somehow, despite everything that Boba had done to Din, that Din had asked Boba to do to him, nothing Boba had ever said or done had hurt like this. Not the whip, not his floggers, not his clamps or his cane. Nothing had cut Din all the way down to the bone. Nothing had cut him like this. The realization that Boba couldn't understand Din at all. "You're not Mandalorian," Din said. His mouth had gone numb. I thought that you were Mandalorian. "That's not my fault," Boba snapped. And it wasn't. Din could see that now. Boba hadn't told Din that he was a Mandalorian. He'd only said that he was the son of Jango Fett. The rest of it, everything Din had thought that he'd known about Boba, that he'd understood, all of that was color Din had painted onto Boba himself. Realizing that didn't do anything to ease the hurt of it, though, the sudden, searing pain. It was like breaking a bone. It was like getting pummeled into the wall by the Dark Trooper again. Din felt it spike behind his eyes. "I don't know you,"
Din said, his voice breaking. Din couldn't see Boba's face. He could only see his own reflection in the black of Boba's visor. His eyes were wide and red, his face had crumpled.
"Maybe you don't, then," said Boba, roughly. "Maybe you should... You want other Mandalorians, is that it?"
Din looked away.
"Another Mandalorian is the only one who can understand you," Boba pressed. "Who can know you?"
Din couldn't say anything. His throat had closed, his thoughts had scattered. Even the desire to fight, the urge to protect himself, to put up his hands, to catch the blows that Boba was lobbing at him now, had left him.
"If that's what you think," Boba said angrily, "then you know where to find other Mandalorians, Din."
What are you saying? Din asked. He had to ask the question at the ceiling, because if he looked Boba in the face again, Din wasn't sure what he'd do.
"I'm saying,"
Boba snarled, his voice thick with anger, with hurt.
"Gev, Din, Gev, I want you to stop."
Din shut his mouth like Boba had slapped him. Din had known that Boba could use the same word, Gev, that Din could use to stop a flogging. Boba had explained all of that to him weeks ago. It was to protect both of them. It protected Din from being pushed too far, and it protected Boba, too. From being hurt, Din thought, sick to his stomach. He swallowed. He had hurt Boba. Taken Boba somewhere that Boba could not, would not follow.
"Boba,"
Din said, voice hushed. Guilt clawed at his ribs, too, a scratchy hurt laid over top the shock, the heartbreak.
"Boba, I'm..." "Stop," said Boba, roughly.
Din obediently shut his mouth again. He didn't know what to do. He could hear Boba breathing wetly, heavily, like an injured animal, behind his helmet. And Din was torn between the desire to bolt and the desire to help. He couldn't help himself. "Din, I love him," Din thought. He had loved Boba for weeks. Boba was... But Boba didn't seem to want Din's help, not like this. Din made a half-hearted motion to reach out, to try and reassure Boba, to take his mind off the argument, but stopped when Boba pulled himself away.
"Stop," Boba repeated.
"Boba," said Din. He dreaded the answer, but he had to ask. He had to know.
What do you need? What do you want?"
Boba looked up at Din. His visor was hard, unreadable.
"I want," he said, "you to leave."